If you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad you found my podcast. If you're not new, welcome back. You're listening to episode 17 of High School Counseling Conversations. 10 key stakeholders to invite to your school counseling advisory council meeting. This episode is actually going to be split up into two episodes because let's be real, when I wrote down 10 people, I knew that this was going to have to be a one-parter and a two-parter. No way could we get all of this goodness into one episode that wasn't super, super long. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. In last week's episode, I talked about the benefits of a school counseling advisory council. I really just spent that time trying to convince you that it's actually worth your time. This week, we're going to dive deeper into who you could invite to come to this said meeting once you admit that it could be actually beneficial to your program. If at any point during this episode, someone specific in your school or someone connected to your school comes to mind, open up a note in your phone and write it down, or send a text message to yourself, or send an email to your work email so that you don't forget to turn that brainstorm into actual action. Maybe one of the hangups you're having with getting an advisory council started is just deciding who should be around that table. Let me tell you some of the people who I have invited in the past, or we, my team, has invited in the past to come to our advisory council meetings. I'm going to walk through 10 specific stakeholders that I'd recommend inviting to yours, or just to give you ideas to start brainstorming before you go and get yours off the ground. So part one is actually going to be 5 of those stakeholders, and part two is going to be the other 5. And if you already have a well-oiled machine of advisory council, maybe you could still listen to this and consider inviting somebody else who is on this list. We would invite the same people to come for the entire year's worth of advisory councils, and I'm talking 2 to 3 meetings, and you are allowed to be strategic about the people you invite to be a part of your meeting. We definitely were strategic, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what I mean by that. Last week, I mentioned that we were always looking for a few things: diverse representation, unique viewpoints, and overlap. And here's what I mean by overlap. This is key. If you were a parent who was also a school counselor at one of our feeder middle schools, you were invited. If you were a student who was also an athlete and maybe a band member, you're in. If you were a community member or a business partner who is also an alum, we want you. Okay, I'm going to give you a few ideas based on our list of people, and you could take them or leave them. They might apply to your school. They might not apply to your school at all. I'm just here to give you some ideas and get those cylinders firing so that you can brainstorm some unique people to have on your advisory council. Let's get to it. Number one, pick a student from each grade level. So have 4 students total. That's kind of my thought. Get creative in how you pick these students. I think there's a ton of value in uniquely picking these students for their background, their school involvement, whether they go to a career center or a fine arts center or a variety of other things. They don't need to know how they got picked. You can let that remain a mystery if you want. You want a diverse representation of your student body. I'd say that a win here would be that if you looked around the room at your meeting, at the students who are there, and you see your school represented in a diverse and fully accurate way, then I think you've done your job in selecting your students. Each student will bring a unique personality and a unique lens to the conversation. So that is a really cool part of having students as a part of this group. You're getting the input and you get to hear the voice of the people you're actually serving every day, of the people that you are trying to better your program for. You could even invite more than four students. That is just an idea to have representation from each grade level. So how do you invite them? I recommend the same way that you would invite a student to a small group, personally and face-to-face. You definitely have to sell this opportunity because chances are you're not going after four students who are the most involved and want to be at everything and first to sign up for everything. And this is a good thing. Like, you want students who are your average student or just a mix of the student population. So it's not going to be the person maybe who listened to the announcements or who is in your office getting all of the scholarship opportunities. Like, you want average Joes, you want high achievers, you want low achievers, you want a diverse representation of your student body. So you have to talk to them and explain what you're essentially signing them up for or getting them to agree to. So with all of these invites, you'll want to remind them as you get closer to the day of, because some of these students may have never been picked for anything where they have to show up early, like a club meeting for school. Like, maybe they're not involved in anything like that. This will be an opportunity for you to tap a student whose voice maybe isn't heard as regularly inside the school, and then maybe they're not used to showing up and being a part of something. So remind them and make them feel special for you picking them. I have a blog post all about student buy-in for small groups that I can link to in the show notes, just so you can get an idea of how to communicate with a student around something foreign, like a small group or an advisory council. It's not the exact same, but I do think that they can relate to each other and that you'll find some value in that. You just want to make sure that in this conversation, your students are ready to be committed to something. It is not this huge commitment. It is 2 to 3 meetings, but since you only have a select number of spots, you definitely want those spots to be used by a student who is going to show up. The second group of a few people you could invite to your meetings would be a few teachers from different departments in your school. Consider teachers who are not already overcommitted to a million committee meetings already. Here are some ideas of people to reach out to. 1 year, we chose a special ed teacher, a teacher who taught seniors, and a brand new teacher. I would recommend avoiding your teacher of the year. Though they are surely loved by everyone and anyone, they have approximately 1,865 other meetings to go to at the school and the district each week. So I would really avoid that person. I'd also avoid really negative teachers. I know there's something to be said about inviting someone who needs to learn about your program, but someone who's going to complain the entire time they're there, ain't nobody got time for that. Why choose negative Nancy when you could have positive Patricia come to your meeting? What I'm saying here is I definitely want feedback as part of the advisory council, but I don't want a straight up complainer to deal with, like, especially when there are other people in the school who can deliver feedback and to be kind during meetings. Like, that is possible. There are those people in your school. So if I get to be the person picking the key stakeholders, I'm going to pick people I like to be around too. There's so much strategy behind these choices, y'all. The best part is that it's only 2 to 3 meetings. So this is usually something that a teacher can get behind. It's a commitment, but it's not every week. It's not even every month. It's also not even every year. I change the teachers up every year. There is something to be said about including all different types of teachers in these meetings, because over time, these people are going to go out and tell other people about your program, and that's going to be a really beneficial thing that I'll talk a little bit more about. Also, a teacher group is a group that likes to be won over with food. You know this to be true because you, as a counselor, are probably won over by food too. Or wait, is that just me? I don't know. This group can usually be pretty motivated by some snacks or coffee or breakfast. You know, things that maybe you'll provide if you do a morning meeting. Number 3, next up, it is time to invite an administrator to your meeting. Is there one administrator in your building who specifically needs to learn more about what your high school counselors do every day, week, month, year? Is there an admin who still calls you a guidance counselor? Get them in this room. I will say, your administrator will need a reminder too. This is not just a student reminder. This is a reminder for the adults. Because in the morning, your administrator may have bus duty or hall duty, but your personal invite, maybe even 5 minutes before you start via walkie-talkie, will go the distance with this person. Guarantee they'll show up by giving them their own personal invite right before the meeting starts. Administrators obviously have a lot of pull in the building. They often assign responsibilities in the building. They share ideas with the principal. They sit in a lot of other meetings with your other stakeholders that you're not even a part of. Imagine the impact of one more powerful mouthpiece for your program. You definitely need an administrator around this table. If you're liking listening to these shorter podcast episodes, consider getting on the waitlist for the CLIC Collaborative, my high school counseling membership. Each month, we do a deep dive into a high school counseling topic with a longer live teaching component. These monthly teachings are just one of the benefits of being inside this exclusive community. I'd love to tell you more and keep you posted before we open the doors again in August of 2022. Doors only open twice a year to the CLIC Collaborative, and I don't want you to miss it. Go to clickcollab.com to put your name on the waitlist. Now, let's get back to the show. Let's move on to number four. Here's an idea for a person to invite to your advisory council. What about a local to your college representative? I have found there to be a lot of turnover within these positions, but I always need to communicate with this person each year. We'd send a pretty good percentage of our students to our local to your college, so there was always a lot of communication with this person from campus visits, to scholarship, to financial aid needs, to getting final transcripts to them. This was an already established relationship, and it was mutually beneficial to have this person in our advisory council meetings. They wanted to be included, and it was another touch point for all of our counselors to know this person better. Number five, since I'm breaking this episode down into two parts, let's get to the last one for today. Grab a school counselor from your Connecting Career Center. This person gets you. They're already a school counselor. This counselor might be a lone ranger in their day-to-day. They might not have any other school counselors to collaborate with in their own school building, so a communal meeting point with more counselors could be really enticing for them to be a part of. Whether you send a ton or you're looking to increase how many students of yours go to a technical skills or job training opportunity, this counselor will be a wealth of information for your program. They see things through the school counselor lens, but from a completely different perspective outside of your building. In my experience, this person was an invaluable source of input for our school counseling program. And yes, we talked to her often anyways, but this space was dedicated to improving our systems, our offerings, and our school counseling programming. She brought so much to the table. Do not forget to invite this person or somebody like them. Okay, those were my first five key stakeholders to invite to your school counseling advisory committee. Now, what if you started your list today and had all of the key pieces ready to go, maybe in a Google Drive folder so that when next school year starts, you're ready to hit the ground running? A quick and easy action step for you would be jot down some of your key stakeholders who came to mind. If you've been enjoying this podcast, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. I'd love to read some reviews on the show from school counselor listeners like you. As soon as you're done listening today, head over and leave that review so that you don't forget. It helps other high school counselors just like you get connected to high school counseling conversations. I'll see you right back here in the same place for next week's episode when we talk about the remaining five key stakeholders to invite to your school counseling advisory council. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.